Okay, Shalom Aleichem, Parsha Shmini. Here we go. Our learning today should be a zchus for a refuah shleima for Shein Dvorah Bas Chayechano, for Shaul Reuven ben Gittel Sasha, Shamir ben Penina, Rafal ben Laya, Besoch Sharchol Yisrael. We continue to learn and daven as a zchus for the Chayalim, for the Chatufim, and for the Cholim, those who have been affected by everything going on in Yisrael. And we continue to daven and learn to hear Besiris Tovos and hear about Yeshuos very, very soon. Also, a special shout-out to my dear friend, Moshe ben Shraga Gershon HaChasson, who's getting married this Sunday, so he and his Kala Rezi should be Zaycha to build a bayis Neman B'Yisroel. Okay, Parsha Shemini happens to be, it's Moshe's Ufruf, Moshe ben Shraga Gershon. It's also, it was also his Bar Mitzvah Parsha many, many years ago. So something, we'll just start off with something short that I shared at the Minyan today, that towards the end of the Parsha, where we list the kosher and non-kosher animals, so We highlight again all the non-kosher animals. We highlight their kosher simen and then their non-kosher simen. So Judah, what does an animal need to have to be kosher? What are the two simonim? Beautiful. When we shared it, Judah was at the minyan this morning, but you weren't here, so we'll share it again. That Rav Schwab points out that for every single non-kosher animal, we highlight the kosher simen first before the non-kosher simen. Rav Schwab points out a beautiful idea that even those who are, so to speak, chazer shreif, those who are completely antithetical to everything we believe in, still we have to what? We have to always point out the positives and see where we connect, where we can agree on what the similarities we have.
Like pigs having split hooves.
Yeah, I guess so, right? And as I'm saying, that's a symbol, right? And that's how we're supposed to, I would say, build bridges and work on those relationships to focus on the positives first. We'll come back to that idea, but again, it's just a short vart. Let's share one other short vart and then we'll jump in. The Torah tells us towards the beginning of this week's Parsha, Vayikru is asher tziva Moshe el penei oval moed. Vayikru kol ha'ida v'yamdu lufnei Hashem. So everybody gathered there. Vayikru kol ha'ida v'yamdu lufnei Hashem. Vayomer Moshe ze hadavar asher tziva Hashem ta'asu v'yira aleichem kvod Hashem. So strong, powerful psukim, but it's interesting. What exactly are we talking about? Again, Moshe Rabbeinu gathers everybody. So first, just the Chesed Lavram points out, my good friend Rabbi Ari Mirzov in Florida pointed this out to me, a beautiful word by the Chesed Lavram, that it says, Vayikaru kol ha'ida v'yamdu lifnei Hashem. The only way Jews can stand before Hashem is if first they are Vayikaru kol ha'ida, meaning there's a sense of kihila, there's a sense of kirvos, Jews come together, and only once we get together can we v'yamdu lifnei Hashem. Okay, fine, but moving forward in the next pasuk, Vayomer Moshe ze hadavar asher tziva Hashem ta'asu. This is the thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded to do it. And the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To sneeze. Oh man, it just went away. That's so bad. Vayira aleichem kvod Hashem. And the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appear to you. So in the Sefer Zeri Yitzchak, big shout out to our dear buddy Justin Carl, who got me the Sefer a while back, and he has beautiful Divrei Torah. And the Sefer Zeri Yitzchak wants to know, what is this thing? Zeh hadavar asher tziva Hashem ta'asu. And then you will see the kvod Hashem, but what is that thing that we're supposed to do? If you do X, you will be zochet to see kvod Hashem. Don't we want to know what that X is? And so some of the Mepharshim say it's referring to the karbonos that have been mentioned up until this point. In Parshas Vayikra, Parshas Tzav, now we're in Shmini. If you do those things, if you do the avodas of karbonos, you'll see kvod Hashem. Others explain it's referring to the karbonos that will be listed in our Parsha. But the Sifra, the beginning of Parsha Shmini, says something different. Amar lehem Moshe liYisrael, oso yitzer hara ha'aviru milibchem. Meaning it's referring to the yitzer hara. Get rid of the yitzer hara, and if you get rid of the yitzer hara, so then what? Then you'll be zocha to see kvod Hashem. What's the problem with that? What's the problem? Don't say it out loud. We're recording here, Judah. But what's your biggest yitzer hara? Everybody has different yitzer haras. So what does it mean? Zeh hadavar, referring to the yitzer hara. What does that mean? What yitzhar are we referring to? Are we talking about arayos? Are we talking about the struggles of keeping Shabbos? Are we talking about achila? Like, what exactly is it? Beautiful. So it is different for everybody. You're right. But what's one thing that might be shevel kol nefesh on a fundamental level? So the Ksav Sofer points out something beautiful. The Ksav Sofer explains, based on the Medrash, that throughout the 7 days of inaugurating the Mishkan, there was no hashraras hashchina. There was no Hashraras Hashchina at all. And what happened? The Jews spent all this time, right? They dedicated everything. They get ready to be involved in the building, whether it's with the Kelim or the actual building itself. There's so much going in. There's so much, I would say, build up to the actual Binyan HaMishkan and now the Hakalas HaMishkan, and yet there's no Hashuras HaShchinah. So what happens? We almost memela become dejected, and we complain to Moshe Rabbeinu, and we say, we did all of this, but Lamaisa, what happened? What came from our work? There was nothing there. It was all for nothing. And we became despondent and maybe even a little depressed. And Moshe sensed this, says the Ksav Sofer, and said to them, "Vayom Moshe, zeh hadavar asher tziva Hashem tasu. You need to get rid of this Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer Hara of Yeyosh, of giving up, of despair. Just because it hasn't been going well, doesn't mean you give up. Judy, you're a shooter. You miss a couple threes in a game, what happens? You come down the court. If you're a shooter, you shoot it again. We don't say, I can't do it. We don't say, forget it, I'm done." Says the Ksav Sofer that often the Yetzer Hara tries to get us to do an Avera. And let's say, Rachman, let's tell him we mess up. Sometimes he mess up. The Yetzer Hara doesn't stop there, and honestly, he's just beginning. Because then he tells us what? You stink, you're terrible, you have no business in the base medrash, you have no business in the base kinesis, what are you doing trying to daven? You think you're so firm, I know what you did 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago, an hour ago. Meaning his goal isn't a specific Avera. What's his goal? It's the overall affect that we have vis-a-vis our own Avodas Hashem. What's our attitude? That's what he's coming to get us. He's trying to trip us up and say, you guys stink, you can't do it. There's no, you guys have no shot. Parenthetically, this is also the pshat. In Mar, we say, V'hasir satan milafaninu me'achareinu. What does it mean, get rid of the satan before us and after us? So it's not just the satan before we go ahead and do a mitzvah, right? It's not just before or when we, Rachman al-Hassan, do an avera. It's not the Yetzer Hara and the satan coming to get us just to do the avera, but it's also after. Meaning if it's a mitzvah, he tries to get us to second guess how good it really was. Okay, so we daven mincha a couple minutes ago. Did we have kavana? How was your mincha, Adi? Is it, you know, like, where are we holding? It was pretty good. Baruch Hashem, you got to keep it up. He's not letting the Yetzer Hara get it in. But some of us, you finish a Ma'ariv, you finish a Minyan, you think, wasn't even so good. And if it's an Avera, it's even worse. It's the negative feelings of self-worth, right, that are so diminished after the Avera. And I think it's important to point out that this is the Yetzer Hara that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, Chevra, don't get despondent. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't think that you're not Shaykh just because what? Just because we didn't succeed in building, just because there's no Hashuras HaShchinah right now. That's part of the process. Rav Simon Shlita, one of the Rosh Hashiv in YU, points out in a Sefer Imrei Baruch, he quotes a couple different ideas on this, on the Hachanos of Hashuras HaShchinah. But he quotes the Medrash that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was creating the world, Borei Olamos U'Machriven, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the worlds and then destroyed, meaning there was a process. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to get the right model, so to speak, for Olam Hazeh. And whatever it means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu tried and failed or didn't like what he created, whatever that means. But Chazal tell us that this world and the Mishkan specifically is almost like a microcosm of the entire world. The Mishkan is a microcosm of the entire universe, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu created and had to break it apart. And Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, Chevra, this is the avoda in life, that you have to go through the struggle. Al pizeh muvan gamkein le'inyan yemei ha'miluim, says Rav Simon. Shahaya Moshe mekim mefarik es mishkan. He built it and took it down, and built it and took it down. Shizeh haya gamkein lehoros inyan ha'tshuva. He was saying, Chevra, it's okay. Ki lo titachin ha'shores ha'shchina ha'idei mishkan, ela imkein tuktam la ha'tshuva. He was saying, Chevra, you can't possibly have a ha'shores ha'shchina if you don't internalize the possibility of tshuva. To recognize that we can mess up, and it's not going to be perfect. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, this is good. Keep on trying. Come back again. There was no Hashuras HaShchinah on the first day or the second day. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, that's exactly the point. That's what we need to learn. That it's not going to be perfect, but we have to keep on pushing ahead. Don't give in to that Yetzer Hara, saying, be miyayish, just give up, don't shoot again. Keep on pushing. And that's the well-known idea from Rav Huttner, who explains the pasuk, Kisheva Yipol Tzadik Vikom, that a tzadik falls 7 times and gets up. And he explains, Judah will learn this when you're in my Mishlei Shir in a couple years, that Atip Shim Choshvim Ki Kavanaso Bederech Ravusa, that even the stupid people, that's a harif words from Rav Huttner says, silly people, stupid people think that what? That even though he fell 7 times, Mi Kol Malkum Hu Kam, he still gets up. But says Rav Huttner, no, wise people understand it's Dafka because he fell 7 times. Shemuhus Hakim Shel Hatzadeki Derech HaSheva Nefilo Shelo. You can only become a tzaddik if you fell 7 times, meaning it's through the ups and downs in life. And here, specifically, the downs. And when we mess up, that's when we learn, and that's how we become, and that's how we can grow. And that was something that was critical in order to get to the point of Hashrus HaShechina by the Hakamas HaMishkan, the inauguration of Mishkan. We had to necessarily struggle at the beginning. I would just point out one other thing when it comes to these intrusive negative thoughts, that sometimes the thoughts we have can be motivating, and the very same thoughts can be incredibly crushing and debilitating. The trick is to know when a thought is positive, and then we can capitalize on it, or if it's something that's a little intimidating and it's scary. So how do you know the difference? So the Mishnah, the Chiddush Erim points to a Mishnah in Perkei Avos. The Mishnah, the third parak, says, Akavya ben Mahalal Omer, Histakel b'shlosha devarim. A person looks at 3 things, Ve'ina ta bali de'aver, you won't come to do a sin. From where do you come from? Me'ayin basa. Lana ta holech. V'lifnei mi'a ta asil yitain dim d'cheshbon. Who are you going to stand before? And the Mishnah says, you're going to stand before, me'ayin basa, you come from a putrid drop, and we're all going to end up in the ground, afarim of itola. And who are we going to stand before? Before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Chiddush Erim, while these thoughts are supposed to prevent us from doing Averos, ve'ina ta bali de Avera, sometimes it's the Yitzhar Hara who's asking us these questions. Meaning, pay attention to your thoughts. Right? Sometimes you can think, this came up in Shir the other day. I hope it's not too triggering, but we were discussing, someone said I need to work out. Or I don't like using this word. The person said, I'm overweight. Or I'm fat. Whatever the kid said. Now, he was saying it in a way to motivate himself, that he needs to go to the gym and he wants to eat better. And then he went on to explain why he has a plan, almost like a diet and a workout plan. So you can have one thought. Again, this is a mushroom, it's not a perfect mushroom. But you can have one thought. And that thought is a mode, or it's a catalyst for productivity. All of a sudden, he's going to start going to the gym. He's going to start eating more health. You know, he's going to eat better, and he's going to sleep better, and everything like that. Or a person can have those same thought, but that can lead a person to a bout of depression or despondency, or just want to just give up because I can't do anything productive and I don't feel good about myself. So we have to know, says the Chiddush Erim, one thought, the very same thought, can have a positive impact on a person or a negative impact on a person. Which I thought was a very interesting ha'ara. But again, the Ksav Sofer's point from the words in the Pasuk, Yomer Moshe, Zeh HaDavar Asher Tziva Hashem Ta'asu. What's that thing we're supposed to do in order to seek Kvod Hashem? It's that thing. Zeh HaDavar is overcoming the Yetzer Hara, and specifically the Yetzer Hara for Yeish, for despondency, for despair, and we should never ever give up. So that's idea number one on the Parsha. Good. Idea number two. Come on in, Hayden. Idea number two that we're going to say in the Parsha, and something that we highlighted, Hayden's walking now, something we highlighted just this morning in Mishlei Shir, is that the Vilna Gaon points out in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Gimel, that the whole point of life is what? To work on, improve, and develop?
Relationship with Hashem.
That's beautiful.
Or with your wife, or your mother figure.
Oh, okay, good, okay. You're confusing a little bit from Shir, we'll come to that soon, Bli Nether. But for Midos, right? And we said, where does one see his Midos? So that Rizal said, right, you good? Okay, we're saying a lot of different things at one time. Let's go in order. Says the Vilna Gaon that the whole point of life is to work on and improve and develop our midos, right? And that's what Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk says. One of the great Hasidic rebbes, Chevra, says that a person was created l'shaver es l'teva, to break his nature, to overcome certain predispositions that we have and work on our midos. Hayden's pointing out, in case you're curious, that the Arizal says the way in which you see a person's midos is how he interacts with his spouse, or one's spouse, and we extend that to family overall. Fine. We'll hold off on everything else we said in Shir today, but let's go back to the Parsha. The Torah says like this, V'yomer Moshe el Aaron, Karav el ha-mizbeach, v'aseh es chatoscha v'esu lasecha, v'chaper ba'adcha ba'ad ha'am. So draw close to the mizbeach, and perform a carbon chatos, perform a carbon ola, and get a kapara, get some sort of atonement. Va'aseh es karban ha'am v'chaper ba'adam kasher tziva Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu has to almost cajole him and say, get close to the Mizbeach. Says Rashi like this, what does that mean? Why did he need to be motivated to get close to the Mizbeach? Says Rashi, Shehaya Aaron bosh v'yorei l'geshes. The Ramban goes on to say that we know that the corners of the Mizbeach stick up a little bit, and the Mizbeach was gold, and it reminded him of the eagle, and he was hesitant. He said, I can't come close, because I still have the eagle hanging over my head. How can I be the Kohen Gadol? And he says, why are you embarrassed? Amar lo Moshe, Lama atabosh lekach nivcharta. Why are you embarrassed? For this you were chosen. Powerful words. Moshe Rabbeinu is being mechazik his brother Aaron. I always thought that the pshat is that Aaron HaKohen was willing to sacrifice himself. He said, better that I build the Jewish people. Excuse me, I build the Egel Azov and I take Achrayus and not the Jewish people. He was willing to go out on a limb, and because you're willing to be Moser Nefesh for the Jewish people, that's Dafka. L'kach nivcharta, that's Dafka why we want you here. Okay, but what's another Mahalach? So I saw last night the Imre Emes says the following idea. The Imre Emes is from the Ger Rebbe, the Sfas Emes Chidush Erim. So it goes Chidush Erim, Sfas Emes, and then the Imre Emes. He moved to Eretz Yisrael. There are awesome pictures of the Imre Emes. He's an amazing person. He says like this, Chevra, every single one of us has a nekuda miyuchedes. We each have a specific point. We have a specific job. Shemutu olav hatafkid l'takana. Each one of us has a certain aspect in our life that we're supposed to be misakin. What's misakin mean? Tikkun? We have to fix it. And since this thing is so specific and it's unique to each and every one of us, the Yetzirah will do everything in his power to prevent us from being misakin that specific thing. The way Rav Tzadok says it is that the area in which we struggle the most is the area in which we're going to become great. It's dafka in the area in which we feel the most challenged, says the Imre Emes. That's really our biggest avoda, an opportunity for tikkun. Tikkun means to fix. So he's saying, Lama atabosh, why are you embarrassed? Lekach nivcharta, meaning Aaron HaKohen was hesitant, he didn't want to draw close, he felt bad. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, no, Moshe was saying, Aaron, listen up. He's trying to be mechazik him. He said, don't be afraid or embarrassed. This is all you. And this is what you're meant to do. If you feel like the Yitzhar is trying to push you away, you got to lean in and say, no, this is where I'm meant to be. Right? When the going gets tough, the tough gets going. You got to recognize the areas in which we struggle the most are really the opportunities for the greatest growth and greatest kedusha. Now, it happens to be, there's something very cool learned from this as well. And that's the following. There's a concept in halacha called in kategor nasa senegor. You ever hear that? Anybody here? Let's give you an example. What clothing does the Kohen Gadol wear on Yom Kippur?
White.
White. Very good. Why doesn't he wear gold?
White's pure.
To be like an angel. To be like an angel. But what else? Maybe there's another idea.
Gold is where we're fasting. Gold is like too like. We're showing
off. Oh, wait, it's like a restart. Nothing's dirty.
Beautiful. I love that. Tshuva, very good. We have that lashon in the tefillah that we say. Halbin chateinu kasheleg, right? To give us, you know, whiten our sins like the snow. But there's another idea. What's the gold going to remind the Kodesh Baruch Hu of? Very good. The Cheir Egel. And when it comes to blowing shofar, what kind of animal's horn do we use?
A ram.
A ram. What don't we use?
Sheep.
Why? Because the Egel is off. Very good. So that's this idea of in kategor na'asa senegor, that the prosecutor cannot become the defendant. The prosecutor cannot become the defendant. So the Maharal asks a question. Ve'echaya egel mechaper al ma'isa ha'egel sha'asau. Meaning Aaron HaKohen was told to bring what? What did we say in these psukim? Ve'yomer Moshe el Aaron, kerav el mizbeach va'aseh eschatoscha ve'olasecha ve'chaper ba'adko ba'ad ha'am. And Rashi said over there what? Rashi writes that this is Moshe Rabbeinu, or this is, excuse me, Aaron HaKohen, getting a kapara. Kach lecha egel, said in Pasuk Beis, lehodiyah shekiper lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu al yidei egel zeh, al ma'isa ha'egel sha'asa. This was to inform Aaron that he got a certain sense of kapara for the egel azav. So it says the Maharal, I don't understand. How can you have Aaron HaKohen bring this egel? Isn't that a problem of Inka Tegor and Asa Senegor? Meaning, the very thing in which you created, the egel Hazav, now you're bringing an egel as a carbon? What about Inka Tegor and Asa Senegor? So what would you say? What's different here? What's the goal of this specific action here? What happens on Yom Kippur when the Kohen Gadol goes Lefnai V'Lefnim? The Biyoma Kippurim says the Maral Eino Rotsa Lechaper Al Maisa Egel Rak Al Shar Chataim. Meaning, what's the goal of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? What's he trying to get kapar for? A specific avera or everything?
Everything.
Everything. Very good. So therefore, we don't want to cause or draw attention to the Cheir Egel by wearing gold. And if the Kohen Gadol wore his gold, so then that would be a problem. What's Aron HaKohen's goal right now? Why did we lose Hashuras HaShechina? Because of the Chida Ego. So what's he trying to get a kapar for, Hayden? For that specific Avira. If that Avira was done with an Egel, so what should he bring as a means of kapara and atonement? He has to bring an Egel. So it says the Maral, in Kategor, Nasa Senegor doesn't apply when you're bringing that specific thing as an atonement to fix, so to speak, to be Mesakin, the previous Chid. I thought that was a pretty interesting idea. But again, the point that I really wanted to highlight was this Imre Emes, to recognize that the area in which we struggle with the most, Aron HaKohen was struggling, he was embarrassed. Aron Bosh V'yarei Legeshes, he was afraid to approach the Mizbeach. Moshe Rabbeinu says, why are you embarrassed? V'mata Bosh L'kach Nivcharta, this inyan, this thing that you're struggling with, is the inyan in which you're going to be great, you're going to be the Kohen Gadol, and you're going to bring Karbonos on behalf of the Jewish people. Fine. Let's say one more Yisod on the Parsha. In Perek Tes, Pasuk Chav Beis, at the end of the second Aliyah, so Aaron lifts up his hands. Vayisa Aaron es yadav el ha'am vayivarachim. Any Kohanim here? No Kohanim. Birchas Kohanim. Vayirid me'asos achatas va'ola v'hashlamim. And Rashi says that over there, what was Aaron HaKohen doing? I think it's Rashi, if I'm not mistaken. Birchas Kohanim, says Rashi, yivarechecha yair and yisa. Based on the Gemara and Sota, that Aaron HaKohen performed Birkas Kohanim. So the Medrash says something that at that moment that Aron HaKohen blessed the Jewish people, so he was zoche to two things, matnas kahuna, which means the presents we give to the Kohanim Judah, and the mitzvah of Birkas Kohanim for himself and Lidore Doros, meaning for all future Kohanim. But the question is like this, Judah. The Medrash says that because he blessed the Jewish people, who is zoche to matnas kahuna and birchas kohanim l'dorei doros. What's the shaychus? What's the connection between Aron HaKohen benching the Jewish people at that moment and the privilege of receiving matnas kahuna and the zchus to bench the Jewish people until the end of time? With me on that? So Rav Sarasian says a bam vart. Judy, ready for this? Good. Are you with me? Meir, here we go. In most societies, people of not just the upper class, but we're talking about like the priestly class, the privileged, the chashiv, the elite. So very often they get more privileges than obligations, meaning they get more than they have a chrayas for. Therefore, people felt more mishubed and more, we'll call it like subjugated to these priests, to these higher ups, to the elite. Then the elite felt an achrayas towards these people. So what's going to happen? If the Kohanim were given this upper class, elevated status, elite status, this privileged group of people, so then they're going to engender a certain sense of entitlement. And we're the best, and look at me, ooh-ah. And we don't want that. Because what's really the goal of the Kohanim after all? The goal of the Kohanim is to teach Torah and to tend to the spiritual needs of the Jewish people. So what did Aron HaKohen do? He spontaneously did Birchas Kohanim and he blessed the Jewish people. What's the godless of that? It was expressing his understanding of what it meant to be a Kohen. When he felt that they had a spiritual need to be benched, when he saw that they needed something, he felt that achrayas to do something for the Jewish people. He felt that achrayas. And at that point, it was safe to give him matnas kahuna. Why does he get matnas kahuna? Matnas kahuna is the privilege. But the privilege is only to the extent that you feel an achrayas for everybody else. Otherwise, it's just entitlement. It's just you feel privileged. You feel like you're better than other people. He was only zoche to the matnas kahuna. Why? Because he took achrayas for the Jewish people. So how's it work? It might make sense for Aron HaKohen, but what about the future Kohanim? Are they going to have that achrayas? Is that how it's going to work? So says Rav Yosef Sirotskin that being mechayiv the Kohanim, Birchas Kohanim, all of a sudden they have to go ahead and bench the Jewish people, that would serve as a constant reminder that their status is fundamentally what? Their status of Kohanim and being zoch t'manas kahuna is only a function of their achrayas for the Jewish people. Meaning again, Aron HaKohen was zoch t'manas kahuna and his children benching for the rest of time. So matnas kahuna is gishmak, it's great, it's chashuv, But you're only really zocha to manis kuna kol zman that you feel a sense of achrayis for the other people. A kohen's whole mahus is helping, tending to the spiritual needs of the Jewish people, teaching Torah to the Jewish people, bringing karbonos on behalf of the Jewish people. Their whole avoda, their whole mahus, their whole essence, Judah, was for the other. It was for the rest of the people. The Kohanim were makabel this upon themselves, because they were saying, first and foremost, I have a sense of achrayis for the Jewish people. Fine. Let's say, we'll do one more. I think we have a few more minutes before the bell rings. Let's do one more vart, because we said we were going to talk about the non-kosher. We said, again, each non-kosher animal is listed in the parsha. The Torah highlights its kosher simonim before the non-kosher simon, as Judah pointed out when he walks in. Well, what are two simonim? Beautiful. So the Kli Yakar says something awesome. Check this out. The Kli Yakar darshans that something that is completely non-kosher is better than something that has some kosher and some non-kosher simonim. Again, we're not necessarily talking about food. Let's zoom out a little bit, says the Kli Yakar. The kosher simonim actually lead to a greater or a worse level of tumah. How could that be? That the kosher simon leads to worse or a more severe level of tumah? Because the things in life that have a kosher simon can try to trick us into thinking that it's completely okay. L'mashol, you guys are going to make fun of me again, Purim Spiel, but secular college. L'mashol. What are all the kosher simonim? That there are a lot of Jews on campus, their daily minyanim, their kosher meals at the Hillel, they bring in scholars and residents. A lot of good kosher simonim there. I, what do they hide? They might hide the non-kosher simonim. It's the pig sticking out its split hooves. He's saying, look at me, I'm kosher. Look at me, we have kosher meals. We have minyan. We have lots of Jews on campus. Gevalt. L'mais it's chazer treif. I'm just joking around, but not really, chevra. I'm not joking. Therefore, the Torah highlights these five animals to teach us the lesson that even though something might have a tzad kosher to them, they're most certainly treif, and you cannot be fooled just by someone showing you their kosher signs. Again, this is the exact opposite of the part we started with from Rosh Schwab, that always point out the positives, always look and accentuate the positives. That's also true. Life's a balance. You have to be looking at the positives. But you also don't be fooled, says the Kli Yakar here, don't be fooled just because it has kosher simonim. Doesn't hide the fact that it has non-kosher simonim as well. So there's something in this parsha that the Torah highlights. We go through all the kosher and non-kosher birds. Okay? Anybody know how to say a stork? Probably not. That's fine. Don't worry. So the Torah discusses a chasida. A chasida comes from the word chesed. Same shoresh. It should be really good. Rashi says it's called a chasida because it does chesed with its counterparts and it gets them food. Sounds geschmack, no? What's the problem? The Ramban notes that non-kosher birds are non-kosher because of their cruelty. Okay, but the chasida, the stork, seems to have good midos. It gets food for its counterpart. So what's the deal? The Chidush HaYarim says that it only does chesed for its kind. It doesn't help anybody else. Anybody that's different than it, it won't help. This kind of, we'll call like a disingenuous chesed, or a super specific type of chesed, where you're not actually trying to help more people, you're doing things that are really just good for yourself and that help you. So that's a misleading type of good behavior. And it's something that we have to be aware of. The Ibn Ezra notes, what's the idea about the stork? He says it only appears at certain times during the year. The stork is a bird that you can find only a couple times during the year. So the Kutzker Rebbe darshaned in a very sharp way that maybe alludes to the kind of people who only do chesed or step up their game at certain times during the year. Whether it's Elul and Yom Noram, before Yom Kippur you got to get your mitzvos in, or maybe if it's when you're around other people. But when you go home, you don't act in such a nice way. Right? So the chasida is another one of these animals. Again, we're highlighting this point of, they might seem like they're good on the outside, but if you actually pay attention to it, you might realize that there are many more red flags than you would have thought. And again, this is calling on us to be a little bit more vigilant and a little bit more nuanced and sophisticated, and to be a little bit more discerning. And just because something initially looks kosher and it looks good and looks like it's a great time, you have to pause and really look into it and have a real cheshbon and recognize, is this really the Ratzon Hashem? So a couple different ideas in Parsha Shemini. Everybody have a fantastic Shabbos.